I'm Ann Mish on 103.7 The Beat. I'm your host of the Watch Us Go Talk of Muskegon. Our goal is to provide listeners with information from various local government programs in the city. If you have a specific subject you would like to discuss, you can call us at 722-8338. If lines are busy, please leave a message. Today, I have Jeffrey Lewis, our Public Safety Director. Hi.
Hey, how you doing, Ann?
I'm good. Hey, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your position as Director of Public Safety at the city?
Yeah, I sure can. As Ann said, I'm the Director of Public Safety, and I oversee Police, Fire, and Inspections Department for the city. And my experience dates back to 1978 when I became a full-time police officer. My career department was the Ypsilanti Department, which greatly assisted me in doing well here in the city of Muskegon. Both communities experienced similar crime and community policing issues. And before coming to Muskegon, I spent time at Eastern Michigan University with the Center of Regional and National Security, focusing on law enforcement training and education, and then becoming the chief of the city of Milan before taking the position here in Muskegon. Many years of public safety experience have enlightened me and enabled me to bring experience and knowledge to the city of Muskegon to promote professional policing in which the citizens can utilize and trust when calling our city services.
So how many years of experience is that altogether? It sounds like a lot.
Basically, we're talking about 37 years of law enforcement experience.
Wow. So the city of Muskegon, we're very fortunate to have you here. So
thanks.
Now we have this community-oriented policing services, and I'm not really quite sure what that is.
Well, let me explain what it is, first of all. Community policing is a philosophy that promotes organizational strategies, which supports basically the systematic use of partnerships and problem-solving techniques to proactively address the immediate conditions that give rise to public safety issues such as crime, social disorder, and a fear of crime. What does this really mean to us at Muskegon? It's about really patrol officers and our neighborhood officers providing personalized police services to our neighbors that implement the idea of cops. And we'll, the community-oriented policing, to make it short through this interview, we'll call it cops.
Okay.
So we kind of know. Because when we use this cops term, it better serves our citizenry. It builds trust and it builds partnerships and that we can have currently now and into the future.
Is that part of the community officers that we have out there?
Yes. And we'll talk about that later, that we actually have a unit that specifically assigned to carry out those tasks, but supported by the rest of the department.
Certainly. Have all the local police departments adopted the COPS philosophy?
Yeah, and that's a good question. And I'm going to answer it like this. I believe that some agencies have actually lost sight of the importance of COPS, the community policing, that address, you know, solving safety problems and crime problems in their community. And it also leads to what we call legitimate policing. For many reasons, American police agencies, such as ours, have moved away from the COPS platform or program because they never left what we call traditional policing. Mm-hmm. And traditional policing will probably sound familiar. It's police reacting to situations. It's police being driven by the telephone. It's called call service.
So reactive instead of proactive.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, a reason why a lot of agencies, now Muskegon, have left the community policing philosophy is it comes down to budget, comes down to dollars.
Right.
In my opinion, that can deter a police agency from actually having a community policing program because it costs money. And then there's other reasons, but that's probably the main one.
So what makes a community policing and engagement look so good in books but difficult to practice on the street?
Well, what happens is its basis, the COPS program, is its basis is flexibility. You know, but officers usually come from a rigid paramilitary system, which is defined, you'll hear this sometimes, as the chain of command.
Yes.
That's in the police department. This can systematically conflict with us from the top to the bottom. There is no real playbook for what we call community engagement or community policing to follow. So this leads to like a broad variation of like what I think community policing is or what another police chief or director would think community policing is, because it varies. How we do things, how intensely the department implements the the community engagement or policing is based on kind of that model and what we do. But remember, we're paramilitary, so some will still want to keep that top down philosophy, which kind of interferes with that flexibility.
And you're talking about like when the police chief is the top of the command, and then it goes to a captain.
And then lieutenants and command officers and then to the officers.
Okay.
But at Muskegon, we're all in. Right. We really practice community policing from the top to the bottom, and that's the good news. The bad news is it's difficult even for us to practice on a day-to-day basis because sometimes our tasks, like I said, call-driven services, the other things we have to do, will override what we call community policing. And sometimes we have difficulty prioritizing what's important to us and then what's important to the community. And that's taking down that barrier, us against them, is part of the community policing philosophy. To remove that barrier, because we have to try to figure out from what you tell us what's a priority, and then we adjust away from our priority to yours as long as it doesn't interfere with that call-taking process in a timely manner.
You want the police to be approachable.
Yes.
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 So can you give us some examples of an event or an activity in which Muskegon Police participated in to foster the COPS programming model?
Yeah, I sure can. One that comes to mind right off the bat is the Marshfield Community Picnic back in June.
That was fun.
That was one of many this year, but I felt that was highly successful. But we the police need to remember that once the fun and the games and the hot dogs ended, that we can't go back to that traditional policing model.
Right.
Social justice, fishing derby for kids, Buddy Bucks, Moran in the Park, of course, National Night Out are just to name a few of the others that we did this summer. But by the way, Ann, I remember, weren't you one of the event planners that night?
For the Marshfield?
Marshfield.
I was there, yes.
Yeah. And I just want to say what a great job that was because volunteers in the community like yourself and the participation from police and the citizens make good relations, and that's how we actually do the engagements to start those relationships. And you were part of that. You witnessed it, and we really appreciate that.
Right. And we also had the Michigan State Police there, and Muskegon Heights joined us as well as with our fire department.
Yes.
And it was showing how well we all work together and how we are all in it together.
Right, right. And, you know, our news media was there also.
Yes.
And it was, like I said, a very fun, friendly event.
This was done in conjunction with MLive, too. Right.
That's right. MLive was there. But I'll tell you what, though, even at that event, a lot of citizens came up and asked very pertinent questions.
Yes.
There was constructive criticism towards our police department that does foster changes and create ideas, in my mind, to bring back to our police department. But that's what we get out of those sometimes. Even though there's games and hot dogs and food and fun.
And frisbees.
And frisbees, yeah, giveaways. We're learning from those experiences.
That's right. That's right. And I should mention, too, that we were very fortunate because we had the beat on site, too, doing interviews and talking
that's
to the public. Yes.
That's absolutely
It was a great event. And I think we're planning on it next year. At least I've already been asked if we would do it again next year.
Like I said, we're all in.
That's right. That's right. So what can you do as a public safety director to implement and encourage community policing philosophies?
Okay, for that to happen in my agency or any agency, the first thing we do is I must, as the director, support and understand the concepts of the community policing philosophy. You know, I must go one step further and insert and participate in what we call community engagements into that equation and then practice it within the administration. So if I don't practice it and if I don't believe it, then my officers will not. Then our next step is we must go through the vision and actually write a mission statement and then follow through. And our mission statement at Muskegon Police is we promote proactive community policing by encouraging citizen involvement.
Right.
And just to name a few, as we already have, you know, with the Marshfield, one that we do that we really want to involve the citizens, and we do it twice a year, which takes 20 weeks of the year, is the Citizens Police Academy. We just graduated 15.
Yes.
They'll be honored on November 10th at our city commission meeting, and we're already taking applications for the spring 2016.
It's a very popular program, very, very popular. And I know I've seen the crime scene that's made up at City Hall, one of the evenings that we have Academy happening at City Hall.
Yeah, that's how we ended up with, we have a major crime scene. Mm-hmm. We have our evidence techs there, our detectives, and the citizens become our detective bureau. We even have our records clerk that are actors. And I'll tell you what, it's so convincing that last time, one of our records clerks, I wasn't sure if it was a real incident or if she was just acting, how much she played a part as the victim's mother.
I know that they actually have to send us out an email letting us know that they've set it up down there because it looks really like a crime scene and it's actually caused some fear in the past. It scared employees.
Yeah, when you see that fictitious body laying there in the cafeteria.
Yep, that's right. That's right. Does race matter when it comes to police and community relations?
That's a big portion of it, and I'm going to say yes, it does, but not as much as one would think. Among many of the biggest problems pointed out in the New York Times, they did several articles on this. Mm-hmm. They said American policing, and we're American policing here in Muskegon, suffers from a lack of diversity on the police department.
Right.
And Muskegon is no different, Police Department. But I will say, once the community understands, embraces the fact the police department is functioning under a community policing model, demonstrates trust and transparency, and racial diversity is being addressed, the race factor, and this is a proven fact, starts to diminish because citizens once again feel ownership in their community and with their police services, which means it diffuses their feelings of no representation.
Okay. All right. To follow up on that, how is the Muskegon doing with diversifying the police department?
And that's an excellent question, and I'm glad that came up today because, as I stated before, we represent American policing, unfortunately.
Right.
But over the past 4 years that I've been here, we've aggressively recruited minority candidates only to find out what most people know. We have a shortage of minority candidates in the job market that would like to be police officers and firefighters.
Right.
It's a fact.
Right.
So I'm hoping the people hear this and start thinking about that as a career.
Right. And we're also under these old rules of civil service that hinder us to our capabilities with hiring.
Yes, I would say that's a barrier. Mm-hmm. So what I just told you, Ann, is the bad news. But here's the good news. I said over the last 2 years, we've offered 5 police officer positions to minority candidates at the police department. Mm-hmm. We've hired 2 African-American males, 1 Hispanic, and the other 2 African-American males were actually hired by other police departments before we got a chance of getting them here. So all the minorities got hired. Unfortunately, we didn't get them all.
Right.
And we currently have a Hispanic in background right now, which is part of our procedure of hiring, and hope to have this person on by the end of the year if everything works out. But I want you to understand this by no means has solved our noted problem.
No.
It just hasn't. But it is a start to solving what we identified as a long-term problem of not enough diversity in the Muskegon Police Department.
Yes, yes. Can community policing engagement have any positive effect on the crime rate you experience?
Yeah, I mean, I think it can. Community policing and crime reduction rates or prevention, they kind of go hand in hand. And I'll tell you what, there's been some research done on this. A deputy chief from Flint, his name is Bruce Benson, did an article, and he was one of the pioneers, worked with Michigan State here in the state of Michigan. His findings were presented when he left his department in 1986, which I know was quite a while ago. Felonies had declined in Flint a staggering 70%. Now, let's revert right back to Muskegon here. We are also seeing a reduction in our Part 1 crimes. Those are the serious crimes here in the city because, A, we're applying what we call modern policing strategies that are incorporated kind of like side-by-side with community policing platform. Our biggest conversation or concentration is lowering the street violence, which we're working on, and that's also been declining with our community policing, our engagements, and also our modern police strategies like high-intensity patrols. Just because you have community policing doesn't mean You're not going to go into a neighborhood and address those problems. But citizens are good at telling us what the problems are. And so then we go in and we actually have an impact lowering those, and we're seeing those. But remember, like I just said, our most notable weapon for crime fighting and reducing violent crime is the community partnerships and cooperation with our police services. Without our citizens, our Muskegon citizens, working hand in hand with us, directly with us, we will become quickly dysfunctional as a police department, and our crime will start creeping up. Our incidents, our negative contacts with police will start creeping up. And I think the best, most current example I can think of is Ferguson could be that, where there was no connection between their community and their police department. And you saw the end result.
If COPS is important, how do you, as the director and your department, get the word out to citizens to follow your lead and continue this methodology in the community?
Well, back at the beginning of the interview, you asked me about if we had a community policing unit.
Right.
And yes, we do. We have a unit of 9 police officers, and we have a civilian, Denny Powers, who's what we call a community liaison officer. They work through the days and the nights attacking neighborhood problems, addressing or hearing about these problems and strategizing how we're going to take care of it. They attend meetings. They work with other departments in our city, such as inspections, planning economics, fire department, your department.
Yes.
All of us work together to, that's part of the community policing philosophy, to reduce, minimize, or at least make the problem become static. You know, and, you know, they also present programs. And most importantly, we attend, we've attended almost 12 community engagements over the last year, directly speaking to and participating with our citizens and their concerns. Like I said before with Marshfield, I have learned so much in the last year on what bothers citizens or what we haven't done. But, you know, also they come to me and they tell me how great our officers are.
Yes.
So that's really great, too. And, you know, then I give that feedback back to our officers to let them know that the citizens do care about them. That we aren't operating like Baltimore. We're not operating like Ferguson. And our last major, what I call community engagement, was our second annual impact. That's entrusting police and community trust. And Ann, I believe you were there also.
I was there, yes, yes. We were at the Muskegon Heights City Hall. Or no, I'm not, sorry. Muskegon Heights.
Christ Temple Church.
Yes, on Sherman. Yes.
On Sherman Boulevard. Yep. And we had Dr. Joe Thomas, who
Excellent speaker. Wow.
Yes. African-American, played in the NFL, police chief on the east side of the state, came over here with a direct message to the citizens and to the police about tough issues dealing with trusting your police services.
Right. And it was a good program, and it had all of the police chiefs, I believe, from the whole Muskegon County area that all participated in that.
That's correct. All law enforcement was represented. I think it was very successful, except we were somewhat disappointed because we want to see more citizens there. We have got to hear from the citizens.
Right.
And the message from the local area police chiefs and directors was important. And also hear Dr. Joe Thomas's message. But we also had a very large time block for citizen statements and questions, and we want to hear that.
And if you do get more citizen participation, you're going to have to probably move to a bigger room, because I can say that was pretty crowded as it was.
It was crowded, but I'll tell you, I'm going to give Brianna Scott, she is our diversity inclusion chair for Muskegon Rotary, who sponsored it.
Right.
And she was on top of this thing, and she said if a few more people would have came, we would have been in the actual multi-purpose room, which holds like hundreds.
It holds a lot. Yeah, I've been in there before. Yes. But I can testify to that speaker that you had was absolutely wonderful. I could hear him anytime. Mm-hmm. He was great. So
it was
a wonderful choice that you made there. So tell us about the Muskegon Police and how it's organized to actually promote this service in the city that fosters community policing, in addition to your regular duties that the police department must carry out each and every day.
Okay. Like I was saying, you know, we have a patrol division of about approximately 50 police officers that go out each day that still tend to practice our call-driven service and the other traditional things that we are required to do. But as I mentioned, our community policing unit that's made up of about 10 officers and civilians, and I participate on a daily basis with them, are designed not to perform those traditional police functions. Instead, their schedules are flexible. The work functions are driven by the needs of the citizens and their neighborhoods. In addition, they have, Denny powers to work with them to provide them real-time crime data, to set up like the fishing derby, all those things, those logistics behind the scene. And just like, for instance, Halloween night came along, our community policers came in, they divided up, they went to their neighborhood Halloween parties. They were very pivotal in putting all those NICSIL tips together on safety for all
what
the...
What is NICSIL?
Oh, NICSIL is that it's a one-way communication that our police department focuses on to give citizens real-time messaging about street closures, Halloween tips, shop with a cop, which is coming up, all these things to help communicate to the citizens like one way from the police department right to them.
How would you get involved in that or sign up for it?
If they just go to NICSIL.com and they just follow the instructions on the homepage, they can sign up to get the Muskegon City Police Department messages. If they don't specifically ask for us on that homepage, then they would get what we call regional messages, which can kind of overtake them sometimes because I believe Norton Shores, I believe Muskegon County Sheriff's Office and other local agencies also have NICSIL.
Right.
And you know, you can pick as many agencies you want or as little as you want.
Sure.
But we really are trying to get all our citizens in the city of Muskegon to sign on to NICSIL for us, the city police department. And we use it sparingly. I don't put like crime summaries out there. I don't put a lot of stuff out there.
No.
I try to put stuff that is real time and important. So when they see that as a text message and or an email, they'll pay attention to it because we want them to.
And it can send a warning or any other information in a very quick manner directly to the citizens.
Exactly. It goes right to the citizens. And like I said, Halloween being the last one, there were several tips that we added on there to help Halloween night be a positive experience, such as something I didn't know was it's the number one night that pets lose their lives and that they're injured because of the costumes, the strange noises, the door opening and shutting. The pets only experience that maybe once a year, and they don't do as well as we do.
No.
And so it's something we added this year to NICSIL that we didn't have in the past.
And to sign up for NICSIL, it's NICSIL.com.
You got it.
Okay.
That's excellent. You got it.
From your interview today, it sounds like Muskegon Police is a supporter of community policing. Why is this important today and into the future for our citizens?
It is, we have our hands full providing police services. If you just listen to anything on the media, you can see that the police departments and their services are being questioned. And the city of Muskegon, we police in what we call an urban, very diverse setting. But I truly believe that the Muskegon Police Department is up to that task. We have regional partnerships, and you mentioned a little bit ago, we talked about us participating at Marshfield with the state police, with Muskegon Heights Department, and other agencies that were there, such as the fire department, because that partnership helps us provide a much more safe environment, secure environment to our citizens, because we have those area law enforcement, and we also have other relationships that are really important. I want the citizens to hear about is we work on a one-on-one basis with the public defender's office, who champions the rights for citizens that do fall into the criminal justice system, that can't find an attorney, can't afford an attorney.
Right.
The public defender's office steps up as a champion for their rights as they deal with us, the police, as they deal with the prosecutor's office. We also have a one-on-one relationship with the prosecutor's office.
Okay.
So, and it's not a, a club. It's a partnership that they know their job, we know ours, and public defender. But these are all set up to assure that citizens that fall into the crime arena that have been charged have representation, that they're treated fairly and honestly because of the prosecutor's office, they're doing their thing, public defender, and us. We also work with a lot of social assistance type groups, such as Every Woman's Place, mm-hmm. the Women and Men's Shelter, Mental Health, the hospitals, you name it. Dialing 211 gives citizens a lot of services. We offer that sometimes to help them out. We know what we can do to help them.
Right.
And a lot of times when we go to crimes, we quickly realize the person has, let's say they're mentally having issues. Instead of charging them or taking them to jail, mm-hmm. we're able to interject ourselves in there, get them to the hospital, and get them petitioned in and get them help. Instead of charging them, or they seek help instead of being charged.
Right.
That goes on.
Right.
But, and like I said, you know, we're driven by our goals to foster that community-oriented policing model to better serve the citizens and the city as a whole. Because if we don't evolve,
right.
and I think some agencies have fallen into that, they get comfortable providing traditional services.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't evolve and serve and meet the needs of our citizens and our community,
mm-hmm.
If we have a critical incident, such as some of these communities around the United States, and we haven't put these building blocks in place, we will not be able, as the police department
right.
or the community, we won't be able to cope with a negative police and citizen contact.
Mm-hmm.
And it can happen here. And we're working with many people in the community to make sure if we have an incident, there's building blocks in place that we can deal with that. Like I said, Baltimore and Ferguson's are perfect examples of what can go wrong and what did go wrong. And I'll wrap this question up like this. Muskegon County, we have a lot of invested in tourism.
Mm-hmm.
People come from all over the state and the country to participate in our beautiful waterways and our activities. And if we were not prepared to deal with a negative police contact, it could negatively impact our entire area with one negative police contact with one of our citizens.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if you can give me a comment that would help better the community and police relations in the city of Muskegon and how citizens can help, what would you suggest?
Well, it all boils down to this, okay? As we watch, and I even in our department, as I experience citizens' complaints,
right.
and I hear our citizens tell us how the officers acted or didn't act,
mm-hmm.
It makes me think. So, as I stated, citizens can help anytime when they are called on to help us.
Right.
Please consider stepping up and giving officers assistance. Even if we ask you to participate in a citizen's complaint
right.
to help better our department, it's tough sometimes to step up and help the administration or help the police officer, but we need that. You know, one message that we've coined after the Ferguson incident, because we wanted to know a simple message that we could give our citizens to help make that contact positive. And our staff coined this term. It's called the three C's. It was cooperate, communicate with the cop,
mm-hmm.
and then repeat it the other way. The cop, cooperate, and communicate with the citizen. I believe if citizens and our police officers practice the three C's,
mm-hmm.
And that's implemented by the officers and the citizens, I could almost guarantee that contact is going to be safer and produce a better, safer, more productive contact,
right.
even if a ticket is issued, even if they were released with a warning, even if there's an arrest made. We can always deal with the rights and wrongs of officers or citizens afterwards,
right.
but they both have to be standing in front of me in order for our citizens' police review board to function,
yes.
for our citizen complaint process to function.
Right.
You have to be here to do that.
Yes.
And so I want to thank you for that last question because it's so important, like I said, to right. communicate and cooperate with the cop.
Right. Well, I know we have to wrap up right now, but there's one question that I always ask everybody right at the end. And in your job, I think this might be hard for you to actually choose just one, but what is the oddest thing you've ever had to do in the line of duty?
That's a tough question. Like you said, there's a lot of things that we get confronted with sometimes that seem kind of strange. But one thing, I'm going to go back to my patrol officer days. One time back in Ypsilanti, we had several exposures through a weekend. We had an individual exposing himself to women on street corners and parking lots. And it had plagued our shift through the whole weekend. And after we'd worked the whole weekend, we were pretty tired out after three 12-hour shifts. Sure. And I was standing at the front window when a woman came in and said that a block from the police station, a male had just exposed herself at the intersection. Oh. And by then, we were getting a little tired of this. And I actually said to the woman, I said, ma'am, what do you expect us to do? This has been going on all weekend. We're working on this. And she goes, well, if you jump in my car, I'll take you right back down there. And if he does it again, you can jump out and arrest him. I thought that was kind of a novel idea. I turned to the sergeant. He said, well, hey, go ahead. Mm-hmm. So this woman put me in her car, and we called the other patrol cars to stay back a little bit. She took me right back to the intersection. The man was standing there, and as she screamed, I looked up, and, of course, I witnessed what she was witnessing.
Uh-huh. Oh,
and the foot chase was on, and we caught this individual, and we really applauded the woman for volunteering to be a victim a second time around to help our police department catch this individual. And he was quickly caught, arrested, and arraigned for this, and stopped a exposing incident over the weekend. But it goes back to this whole interview. We couldn't have done it without the volunteerness and the willingness of this woman to be, once again, victimized for a second time.
Right. You know, I knew with you there would be one really odd. I knew I was going to get into something by asking that question, and you got me. You got me on that one. So we have to wrap up here right now, but I want to thank Public Safety Director Chief Lewis here for being with us today. And we're gonna thank you for listening to the Watch Us Go Talk of Muskegon, and join us next time as we aim to provide listeners with information from the city of Muskegon. Please be sure to check out our website at www.shorelinecity.com.